You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Day tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, August 11th, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here. I hope you can forgive me for skipping out on Monday's show with no notice whatsoever, but I have a good excuse. I was invited to sit in on the public meeting that was happening at City Hall. The Portland Office of Neighborhood Involvement is gathering input on what Portland's city ordinances will be with respect to commercial marijuana licensing. So I decided that would be a good place for me to be as the head of Portland Normal. So I made my way down to City Hall, and it was a very interesting meeting. Got to meet a lot of great activists out there, including one young lady who is working on getting us involved with Portland's AIDS Walk. So I think that would be very beneficial for marijuana reformers to take up, is get involved with your local AIDS Walk. There's so much with medical cannabis that we have to offer for the HIV and AIDS community, and it's good to reach out to the LGBT community. They have a lot of wisdom and lessons for activism, and we could just learn a whole lot from each other. I always feel that now that marijuana is becoming legal, it's time for us to integrate. It's time for us to be a part of other movements as well, and to highlight how cannabis can be a part, a beneficial part of those movements. You think about that with, say, Black Lives Matter movement. Well, how many of these stop and frisks, how many of these terrible stories begin with a cop claiming that he smells weed? And speaking of that, that leads to our show today. Another case of Texas police committing a roadside sexual assault over marijuana, claiming to smell weed, claiming women are hiding it in their bodies, and then using a roadside search, of all things, to check them out. And we've got the latest case of this. We'll give you some of the history that has happened in the past with respect to these cases as well. You'll understand why I'm saying yet another. We'll also be talking in the drug war data mines about California's historic drought. They're on this terrible, terrible drought. So much water has been drained from the reservoirs that when you drive down through Northern California, it's shocking. My way down to the Northern California Cup, I was just shocked at how low the reservoirs are. And yet another article has come out blaming marijuana, saying how much is marijuana contributing to the California drought? Well, I did some number crunching, and I'll tell you exactly how much marijuana is contributing to California's drought. Also on the show today, we got a special guest joining us for a cannabis community chat. It's our good friend, Chief Greenbud, the artist from Nashville, Tennessee, our troubadour of THC. You might think of him as a cross between Jimmy Buffett, Weird Al Yankovic, and a big old bong. He's coming out with his fourth album. We're going to play three tracks, two in our first hour, one in our second hour, three brand new tracks from Chief Greenbud, and talk to him live in Nashville. And then we'll finish out the show with a little discussion about synthetic marijuana and some of the scaremongering that's going on about that. Stay tuned for hour two as well. Again, that other Chief Greenbud track, plus our 420 Daily Toker tune for Electric Tuesday. We'll also take your calls live at 84-420 Radio. I'm Radical Russ. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, freeing your mind 24 hours a day.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
The Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference is happening September 12th and 13th at the Hilton in downtown Portland. Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, and I hope you'll take advantage of this amazing opportunity to learn the latest business and legal information concerning cannabis commerce in Oregon in 2015 and beyond. Check out OMMBC.com right now for early bird pricing, because we're likely to sell out. That's OMMBC.com, the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. Jeff Mazansky, a 61-year-old Missouri man who was serving life in prison for nonviolent marijuana offenses, will be set free in a matter of days. Quote, "We were notified Monday that he will be granted parole and be released within 10 to 25 days," end quote, his lawyer, normal attorney Dan Vietz, said about the Missouri Department of Corrections decision. Mazansky had met with the parole board just last Thursday. After 2 decades in prison, Mazansky became eligible for parole in May when Missouri Governor Jay Nixon commuted his life sentence. Parole was an option that Mazansky did not have previously because he had been sentenced as a prior and persistent drug offender under Missouri's three strikes law, which was repealed last year. All three of Mazansky's offenses involved marijuana. He was given a life sentence after a conviction for attempting to sell about 6 pounds of pot in a 1993 police sting operation. Edible marijuana products in Colorado may soon come labeled with a red stop sign, according to a draft of new rules released Wednesday by state marijuana regulators. The state may also ban the word candy from edible pot products, even if they're sweets such as suckers or gummy chews. The new pot symbol, an octagon stop sign shape with the letters THC to indicate marijuana's psychoactive ingredient, would have to be on individual edible items, not just labels. Liquid marijuana products would be limited to single-serve packaging, defined as 10 milligrams of THC. Regulators rejected an earlier proposal to mark edible pot with a weed leaf symbol after a parents' group complained the symbol would simply attract children, not dissuade them from eating the products. The new edible pot rules face a public hearing before final adoption. A teenage girl in New Jersey on Tuesday lost another legal battle in her quest to use medical marijuana in school to help control her seizure disorder, as an administrative law judge ruled it would violate state laws designed to ban drug use in school zones. The girl, Jenny, has long suffered from frequent and severe seizures because she has a severe form of epilepsy. In August 2014, Jenny began taking an eyedropper-sized dose of her mother's homemade cannabis oil in a small glass of cola in the morning, after school, and before bedtime. The number of seizures diminished, except in the afternoon. Her doctor recommended she also take a fourth dose with lunch, according to her medical records. The legislature in June swiftly approved a bill that would allow minors who are registered with the medical marijuana program and have a developmental disability to consume an edible cannabis product at school, administered by the child's parent or designated caregiver. The bill, Assembly 4587, awaits action by Governor Chris Christie. The Marijuana Control Board on Monday laid out its most comprehensive set of draft regulations yet for Alaska's fledgling cannabis industry, including a proposal that would ban marijuana social clubs, even as owners of existing clubs spoke out against any actions by the state that would shutter their doors. The newly created board is holding a two-day meeting at the Atwood Building in downtown Anchorage and heard Monday morning from business owners who had been sent cease and desist letters by the state. Five of the six businesses that were sent letters testified to a packed room that held about 70 audience members. Only representatives from the Alaska Cannabis Club did not attend. The three marijuana social clubs that received letters, Wasilla's Northern Heights, Potluck Events in Anchorage, and Kenai's Green Rush Events, told the board that they shouldn't be lumped together with businesses selling pot. State-of-the-art forensic technology from South Africa has been used to try and unravel the mystery of what was smoked in tobacco pipes found in the Stratford-upon-Avon garden of William Shakespeare. Residue from clay tobacco pipes more than 400 years old from the playwright's garden were analyzed in Pretoria using sophisticated techniques called gas chromatography mass spectrometry. There was unquestionable evidence for the smoking of coca leaves in early 17th century England based on chemical evidence from two pipes in the Stratford-upon-Avon area. Neither of the pipes with cocaine came from Shakespeare's garden, but four of the pipes with cannabis did. In Sonnet 76, Shakespeare writes about invention in a noted weed. This can be interpreted to mean that Shakespeare was willing to use weed for creative writing or invention. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland NORML, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland NORML at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland NORML. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
So just hold on a moment. Let's turn off the hellacious air conditioner there. Just the other day, Herb Thrasher sent me a link to a story asking if I could believe it. And the headline on the story was, "Cops forcibly search woman's vagina after smelling weed in her car." "Well, of course I believe it," I replied to my friend. "I reported on this story 3 years ago." But no, this is not the story. Texas state troopers caught on camera probing women's privates aren't isolated incidents. A story from 2012 where Ashley and Angel Dobbs were probed in the anus and the vagina by trooper Kelly Hellenson, who never changed gloves between the searches, and she never bothered to search the lady's socks or shoes, but was on camera on the roadside reaching down their pants. No, it's not that story, not Trooper Hellenson. And it's not the story Texas women subjected to full body cavity search on highway A story also from 2012 where Alexandria Randall and Brandy Hamilton were probed in the anus and vagina by Officer Jenny Bowie on the side of the road in full view of their nephews who were in the car. Bowie also did not bother to change gloves between the searches. No, not that story. And not the Texas woman sues state trooper over invasive roadside body cavity search story from 2013, where the Texas corrections officer, that's right, a prison guard, Jennifer Stelly, was probed in the anus and vagina by, can you believe it, Trooper Kelly Helenson, the same one that Ashley and Angel Dobbs sued over the 2012 case. Now, that case was settled for $185,000, and Trooper Helenson, quote, was reprimanded, put on 6 months' leave, and was retrained, end quote, said attorney Allie Booker, who won the Dobbs case and now is representing Stelly. Apparently, that retraining didn't include don't sexually assault women on the side of the road on your dash cam. No, wasn't any of those cases. This latest case is from June of this year, and it involves a woman named Charnicia Corley. She was pulled over for running a stop sign. The cop claimed he could smell weed. So he cuffed Corley, put her in his car, and began searching her car. He found no weed, so he came back to his car and claimed he could still smell weed. The cop then calls a female deputy over for a search. Corley complains that she can't take her pants down because, number one, she's handcuffed behind her back, and number two, she's wearing no underwear. This is out on the side of the road. This is in a gas station parking lot, mind you. So the cops stand her up, bend her over the cop car, and forcibly remove her pants. Now, she begins to resist, so they throw her to the ground, and two cops, one for each leg, hold her legs apart while the female cop probes her anus and vagina. Now, Robert Gorlitz, the president of the Harris County Sheriff's Deputies Organization, says that sexually assaulting women on the roadside isn't common protocol. Well, so is there like an exception? There's an exceptional protocol? Maybe. Emergency protocol, maybe. But not common. He says instead the protocol is that the officers are supposed to arrest the suspect, take the suspect to a substation, and submit the suspect to a microwave scanner. A microwave scanner that requires no bodily penetration. Now, maybe the Texas police were just getting in their last few jollies before September 1st. Move to action by the Ashley and Angel Dobbs case back in 2012, the Texas legislature decided that even Texas shouldn't be, you know, raping women on the roadside over minor traffic stops and minor drug violations. So they went and passed House Bill 324 that Governor Abbott actually signed. Even Governor Abbott couldn't abide by this behavior. And on September 1st, that law goes into effect. It says that prior to any body cavity search incidental to a traffic stop, a cop has to get a warrant. What? You thought the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution applies in Texas? Well, apparently not, since they had to write a law against anally and vaginally probing women on the roadside in the search for the weed they might have hid in there. And speaking of, the amount of marijuana you have to possess in Texas before you can get charged with a felony is a quarter pound. Just how much do you think a lady can store up there anyway? Let me just Google here and see. Oh, dear. maybe I shouldn't have Googled that. Anyway, sexual assault in Texas is at least a second degree felony. So what sense does it make to commit a felony to find a misdemeanor amount of weed? And to you Texans out there, I got a lot of friends out there in Texas. Some of you are part of that open carry movement, and you tell me about tyrannical government, and we got to have our Second Amendment rights. Then you need to be fighting these kind of cases.
You need to be showing up and protesting at these kind of cases with your open carry. If your open carry doesn't mean our women can't be safe getting pulled over by the police in this country, I don't know what tyrannical government you're waiting for.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
I'm not advocating any violence. On the other hand, I don't know what you're supposed to do if you are driving down the road and you see Texas cops sodomizing and raping and assaulting women on the side of the road. What possible danger can they be in that requires that? I can think of nothing.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Sundays at noon Pacific for Pot TV, podcasting from pot.tv. Pot TV is Canada's network for cannabis-related programming, including The Red Beard Show, The Marijuana Zone, The Weed Guy, Urban Grower, and more. Check our online listings for Pot TV with Mark Emery's Cannabis Culture from pot.tv.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
How much does marijuana contribute to California's drought, really? You know, we get this scaremongering and we get this blaming of the cannabis-consuming community for all sorts of things, from terrorism to luring the children toward heroin. The one we've heard a lot lately because of California's record drought is how much water marijuana is using. The headline was how marijuana is making California drought worse. This was last Friday from the Christian Science Monitor. Now, High Times magazine's reported on this weed drought scaremongering since last April when a Mother Jones article quoted a Mendocino Press Democrat article that quoted researchers who, quote, estimate each plant consumes 6 gallons of water a day over the average 150-day growing cycle for outdoor plants, end quote. Well, geez, I don't want to have California die of thirst just because I like to smoke weed. Really? A cannabis plant will consume 900 gallons of water. Is that a realistic estimate? And what if I just grow a smaller plant with a shorter grow cycle? Well, I did some digging, and in July, the Gangier reported poll results from the Emerald Growers Association and the Mendocino Cannabis Policy Council, claiming that cannabis plants use 1 gallon of water per day per pound of processed flower. That seems reasonable that, yeah, a 10-pound plant's going to need more water than a 5-pound plant, right? And a pound, that's a good starting point, because a pound would be my nice personal stash for the year. An ounce a month plus a quarter pound for the holidays, right? So let's say it takes 150 days to grow that pound. So am I a jerk because someone's using 150 gallons of California fresh water to supply my annual California weed habit of a pound? How awful am I in the context of other Californians' love for other things that require water, like beer or rice or beef? All right, so I did some more digging. Agriculture uses up to 80% of California's fresh water, according to a June 2014 issue brief entitled Agricultural Water Conservation and Efficiency Potential in California from the nonprofit Pacific Institute. While highly variable due to different crops planted year to year, agricultural water usage works out to, quote, 35 million and 45 million acre feet per year between 1998 and 2010, end quote. All right, do some calculations. An acre foot is 325,851.5 gallons. Do the multiplication. Now we're in the ballpark of 11.4 trillion to 14.7 trillion gallons of water to sustain all California agriculture for the year. Now, how does marijuana's imprint fit into that California number? The Central Valley, California High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Agency, in 2010, claimed that, quote, California produces more marijuana than Mexico, end quote. And in that report, they used something called the Krogan formula to determine that California produced an estimated 124,315,200 pounds of smokable marijuana. Okay. 124 million pounds times the average 150-day growth cycle at a gallon per pound per day, and we get 18.65 billion gallons of water. Or all the state's smokable marijuana used approximately 0.13% to 0.16% of all California's annual agricultural water. I think I'm feeling a little less guilty now, Christian Science Monitor. Just for a topper, though, the Water Footprint Network is a nonprofit that fights for water conservation by illustrating how many liters of water go into producing a kilogram of a particular consumable. All right, so we convert our 150 gallons for a pound of marijuana. That works out to 1,252 liters of water per kilogram of marijuana. Beer requires 1,420 liters per kilogram. Rice requires 2,497 liters per kilogram. And beef requires 15,450 liters per kilogram. Damn! My broccoli beef takeout with Tsingtao beer just used more water than the joint that gave me the munchies for Chinese food in the first place. Jeez, that headline from the Christian Science Monitor would have more properly read, how marijuana prohibition is making California drought worse. That brief by the Pacific Institute showed that agricultural efficiency techniques could reduce water usage, quote, by 5.6 million to 6.6 million acre feet per year, or by about 17 to 22%, while maintaining productivity and total acreage irrigated, end quote. But an illegal cannabis grow isn't going to adopt those techniques. A legal cannabis farm could be forced to under a condition of its license, and it won't be damming up streams and pouring all sorts of waste products into the environment while it does so. That's my latest radical rant column. You can catch that up on hightimes.com right now. Go online, hightimes.com, on Tuesdays and Fridays. You'll see my latest radical rant columns. All right, stay tuned. We got a very special guest joining us, my good friend from Nashville, Tennessee, the troubadour of THC, the bard of bongs, the Jimmy Buffett of joint blowing. That's right. Chief Greenbud coming up next. Plus two exclusive brand new tracks from Chief Greenbud 4, the latest album.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our cannabis community chat.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we are joined on the telephone by one of our greatest friends here at 420 Radio. It's Chief Greenbud. How you doing, Chief?
Hey, Radical Russ. How are you doing, man?
I couldn't be better. Seattle Hemp Fest is coming up this weekend. Me and Herb are headed up. We got three speaking spots apiece.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, we are actually have a private party outside of Nashville, Tennessee that we are performing at.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. A private party. Oh, aren't we fancy?
It's a private party.
Hey, we've got a new album coming out. Chief Greenbud's got a new album coming out here, Chief Greenbud 4. And if it's like Led Zeppelin 4, it's going to be the greatest album you've ever released.
Yeah, I can honestly say that this is my favorite CD so far.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really think, you know, the writing, you know, the production on the music, I dig it.
Excellent. You got your guitar playing friend still with you, Chip, right?
Oh, Chip is still with me, yeah. He's still producing and jamming away on all these tunes.
All right.
He's the one, he actually plays all the weird instruments. If you hear a harmonica or a kazoo, or if it sounds like somebody's tapping on a guitar, that's Chip. He does it all.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we've got some tracks from Chief Greenbud's latest album, Chief Greenbud 4. This first one is track 12 that we're going to play, Everybody Get High. Tell us a little bit about the track, and then we'll roll into it.
Well, it's one that when you listen to the song, we encourage everybody get high.
So that's... the title.
I try not to make things too complicated for anyone. You know,
just
we spell it out real simple right there and kind of go from there.
Well, this is perfect timing. Everybody get high.
Everybody get high. Everybody get stoned.
The states just to be here. You know I was riding dirty, 'cause I got no fear. When a cop pulled me over about a mile out of Boulder, I thought this won't be any fun. He said he smelled marijuana, so I said, why don't we burn one? Well, everybody get high, everybody get stoned, everybody light up. party on. You can smoke a big bowl with your buddies, or buddy, you can choke it alone. Everybody get high, everybody get stoned. It's easy to get a couple of nugs, find a couple new buds to meet me. 'Cause there's a lot of you caring, kind people out there, and I know you're gonna save me. After all, we're just brothers coming from another mother, ain't we? Everybody get high, everybody get stoned, everybody light up.
Great new Chief Greenbud music there with Everybody Get High, coming out on the Chief Greenbud 4 album. You got to go to chiefgreenbud.com right now and get that. Chief, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, Russ. I can actually watch you on my computer right now.
Oh, no. You saw me getting high, didn't you?
But I saw you jamming to that song.
And I was getting high.
And you were getting high.
I did as I was told, I guess. Hey, was Chip doing that piano work, too?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Chip is just an incredible musician, songwriter, producer.
Where have you guys been lately? Where are some of the places you've been playing?
We just got back from playing Canastock in rural Kentucky.
Okay.
Which is Red. I don't know if you know Red.
Yeah.
He was on the show Utopia, and he had a little show called The Bluegrass Boys on A&E.
Okay.
They had a couple episodes of that show. Of course, we do the Hash Bash every year up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and that's always a blast. This year, Tommy Chong came out.
Yeah.
And I think it was one of the most well-attended fests they've had in quite a few years.
Yeah,
I bet there were 8,000-10,000 people there.
That's the one I need to make a real strong effort to get to. Of all the major events, I think that's the one I haven't been to yet, is Ann Arbor Hash Bash.
Oh, it's a blast, man.
Yeah,
you got to
yeah.
come a day early, though, because they have like pre-parties and things of that nature. And
yeah, yeah. I got a lot of Michigan contacts, man. We could have a good time up there. Ann Arbor Hash Bash is like, what is it, first weekend of April?
First weekend of April.
See, I know that. See, folks, you got to have some of these dates. That's first weekend of April for the Hash Bash, third weekend of August for Seattle Hemp Fest, second weekend of September for the Boston Freedom Rally, all sorts of good stuff going on there. ChiefGreenbud.com is the place to go if you want to get the new album and if you want to know where Chief Greenbud and Chip are going to be in your neck of the woods. But he's got a private party this weekend. I'm going to miss you, Chief, up at Seattle Hemp Fest.
I know. Trust me. We wanted to come back this year. We played last year out at the Seattle Hemp Fest, and it was just an incredible experience. pictures don't do it justice. You have to attend. Just, it's like 17 miles of different vendors with every kind of product and device that you could think of, and even some things that you never even would have thought of.
Yeah, I have to attest to that. 1.6 miles, close to 17 miles.
It seemed like 17 miles.
By the time you've been to the gig over 3 days, you will have walked 17 miles, though. I can attest to that. I have the little steps counter in the cell phone, you know, tells you how many miles you walked. It's crazy on Hemp Fest weekend.
Yeah, I lost 4.5 pounds. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about, exactly. Folks, if you can make it to Seattle Hemp Fest, Herb Thrasher speaking. He's got a Friday at McWilliams. He's got a Friday at Sealy. I've got a Friday at McWilliams, a Saturday at Sealy. Both of us are speaking on the main stage on Sunday. I'm at 2:45. He's at 11:45 in the a.m. And, of course, Seattle Hemp Fest has that VIP party that happens on Friday night as well. So plenty of fun going to be had up at Seattle Hemp Fest. Chief Greenbud's got a new album out. It's Chief Greenbud 4. And, you know, in your previous albums, you've had a mix of parody tunes kind of taken from a popular song and put weed lyrics in them. And then you've had your original stuff that's been on it. Is there like that on this new album? What's the balance?
No balance. It's all lopsided towards the original. 100% original, 12 songs. I wrote 11 of them. Chip wrote one of them by himself.
Yeah.
Flower Power.
Oh, far out.
Which I'm actually getting for Herb for his show.
See, you know, I had to ask because when it comes to popular music, I don't listen to a lot of tunes. So, like, I don't know if your songs are parodies or not.
They're all parodies, Russ.
They're all. Now, all new stuff, all original Chief Greenbud music on Chief Greenbud 4, correct?
Yes, sir.
That is fabulous. Glad to hear it. We got some questions coming up in our chat room. Our friend, let's see, was it Loaded Hash? Hash Pen Loaded wanted to point out that Madeline has reopened the world-famous Cannabis Cafe version 3.0. You need to come out there. That's what he says.
Oh, that means you have to learn all the songs on the bass.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that.
I played there before. Well, I played with you there before.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in like 2000, I think it was.
Is it? That's when
I had my very first dab ever.
That's right. I got you your first dab. I remember that. I remember some of that. I remember vague pieces of it.
I remember the beginning part, but the middle and the end are a little hazy.
I have photos to like jog my memory. All right, we got to get one more track in here before we let you go. And this next track I got pulled up is called I Bake. It sounds like you've mixed apple and weed. What's this track about?
That basically, someone asked me if I could describe my music, what I'm trying to represent in my music, what lyric would I use? And that lyric would actually come from this song. And the lyric is, I can't wait for the day when my state says okay, and I won't have to waste a single minute being afraid that I bake.
Right on. Well, we're going to bring that to everyone. You get out here to Oregon and enjoy starting October 1st. Our shops are open for everybody. But right now, this is Chief Greenbud with I Bake from Chief Greenbud 4. Check out chiefgreenbud.com. And Chief, it won't be too soon that I see you again, man.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Working 9 to 5, 6 days a week. When I get home, it's my own damn time. I like to unwind with a little weed. I bake like an apple pie, it's great. And I can't deny, I can say I get high every day of my life. I really do enjoy living this way. I bake like a Boston bean. I partake. I think you know what I mean. I can't wait for the day when my state says okay, and I won't waste a single minute being afraid. I bake. This ain't no soapbox that I'm standing on. They say it's wrong, but I think it's all right. I see things changing in America. It's because of us. It's about time. 'Cause I bake like an apple pie, it's great. And I can't deny, I can say I get high every day of my life. I really do enjoy living this way. I bake like a
can't believe they call it criminal. It's beautiful, getting stoned,
getting stoned.
I wish these stupid laws would go away. I'm here to stay, so just leave me alone. Cause I bake like an apple pie.
I feel great.
I got no reason to lie. I can say I get high every day of my life. I really do enjoy living this way. I bake like a Boston bean. I partake. I think you know what I mean. I can't wait till the day when my state says okay. When it's late, I pack another bowl. I can say I get high every day of my life. I really do enjoy living this way. I fry like a chicken wing. I get high, baby, that's my thing. I can't wait for the day when my state says okay. And I won't waste a single minute of being afraid. I pay. Will I pay?
That's great from Chief Grimm. And Chief, thanks so much for hanging on the line with us. And sorry that got you cut off there.
Oh, no worries at all, man. I just really wanted to thank you for having me on today.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. And we'll do it again real soon. Everybody go to chiefgreenbud.com. Get the information on the download for all 12 original tunes on Chief Greenbud 4. See you later, Chief. And we'll have a good time at that Cannabis Cup party in Michigan. That's your next public gig, right? In Detroit?
It is. And tell everybody hello for me for ahead of the Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend.
I will do. Thank you so much for being on the show. We'll see you later.
All right. Talk to you soon, Russ.
All right, folks. Stay tuned. We got time for a radical rant here at the end of the show. They're calling Spice K2 synthetic cannabinoids. They're calling them weaponized marijuana. We're going to dig into that when we get back.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Kid, I really want to let kids know that illegal drugs are bad news.
Yes, David, it's true. Over 100,000 teenagers were admitted into hospitals last year because of drugs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about kids' futures. Did you know that marijuana can affect a person's physical and sexual growth?
Yes, that's quite accurate. In a laboratory test, female animals treated with the active component in marijuana experienced a 44% death rate among their offspring.
This is much more important than facts and figures. What kids should know is that marijuana has got more cancer-causing agents than tobacco. And a lot of young kids use drugs on a daily basis.
Actually, Michael, the fact is that 1 in 18 high school seniors smokes marijuana daily. And then there are the occasional users which account for...
Get this through your CPU. They don't care about statistics.
You know you're right. I've got it. Just tell them illegal drugs are bad, so don't mess with them.
Illegal drugs are bad news. Don't.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
420 Radio, your ticket to Seattle Hemp Fest.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Local officials all across the United States are attributing a rise in violent crime and emergency room admissions to a spike in synthetic marijuana, the profits from which are funneled to the Middle East. Well, here we go with another round of scaremongering about synthetic marijuana. Now, CNN is reporting that according to the American Association of Poison Control Centers, 3,682 people reported feeling ill effects from the products known as K2, Spice, Scooby Snacks, Green Giant, and other names. This year, these mixtures of unknown herbs sprayed with research-grade synthetic cannabinoids have already led to over 4,377 reports to poison control centers. So last year, 3,682. This year, already, just through July's numbers, 4,377. NYPD Commissioner Bill Bratton demonized the substances as, quote, weaponized marijuana, end quote. Yes, he called Scooby Snacks weaponized marijuana in a press conference last Tuesday. And this led the New York Post to lead with the headline, weaponized weed triggering nude psychotic rampages in New York City. I can't make this stuff up. Weaponized weed. Now, I'm thinking maybe, what, they got it in a blow dart gun? They've aerosoled it or something? No. It's something you have to take, but somehow it's weaponized. Okay. Bratton even said, quote, a number of individuals, when under the influence of this drug, are relatively impervious to pain and also have significant enhancement of their physical strength, end quote. So you take the K2 and suddenly you turn into the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, bullets bounce off your skin. Tasers don't affect you. You're a madman. Now, we've heard this before. I mean, this goes all the way back to Harry J. Anslinger saying marijuana will cause bloodlust and demons, and the hideous monster Frankenstein would be frightened by the monster of marijuana. Yes, we've heard it all before, and we've heard it with every other drug, too. Crack was ever going to lead to mass psychosis, and every other drug since. Meth, mass psychosis, PCP, oh my God. In fact, the department, to try to back up Bill Bratton, released two videos to purport people naked, acting irrationally and violently. One was of a man who was naked and squatting on all fours, slapping the pavement while NYPD tended to him. The other, though, was a video from an episode of Cops shot back in 2003, back in Iowa. And the man in the video, according to the woman who was the officer on the scene, who's now since retired and is a realtor, but when she was a cop back in 2003, she told the media that that guy was suffering from the effects of PCP, not synthetic cannabinoids. And when they called the NYPD on this, the Gothamist reported it, and some journalists called the NYPD on this and said, well, this is not necessarily all from just the synthetic THC. This was just to show this intense psychotic syndrome, this aggravated syndrome that these people suffer from when they take drugs like K2. So, okay, walking that back a bit. In Washington, D.C., in the meantime, police arrested a man on July 4th for the robbery and fatal stabbing of another man on the metro train. The city's police chief, Kathy Lanier, on Monday said, quote, "In some cities, synthetic cannabinoids is a huge issue. In other cities, it's just beginning to grow. Its connection to violence, that's a gap that can be fixed," end quote. Now, Lanier is meeting with other police chiefs in Washington, D.C. this week. They're calling for new tests to help them identify users of synthetic cannabinoids in the field. And they will fail to get those tests, and they will fail to reduce the use of synthetic cannabinoids until they recognize why people are choosing to use them. Because synthetic cannabinoids are commercially available, they're legal to possess, and they don't show up on urine screen drug testing. Simple. Spice, K2, and all the rest of those things are often sold in bodegas and sometimes sold secretly with customers using code words to access the product because some cities like New York have been cracking down on the sale of these things. But still, it's easier and cheaper for someone seeking a marijuana high to find a $5 packet of spice in some bodega than to risk finding a $40 bag of weed from an illegal dealer in the park. Selling the synthetic cannabinoids is illegal, but possessing them is not. So it's far less risky to get that spice packet from a bodega clerk than taking the chance the illegal dealer is a narc or getting caught later with illegal weed by the cops sometimes later. And even identifying the product as a controlled substance is difficult for law enforcement. As soon as the officials define one particular synthetic cannabinoid as illegal, the chemists in China and elsewhere just tweak the molecular structure until it's no longer matching the illegal definition, but it still gets the user high. So any test the cops in DC might get to detect today's spice won't detect next month's version, just as the drug test administered by employers, probation officers, and homeless shelters won't work on most synthetic cannabinoids. Only marijuana prohibition could lead people seeking a natural high to use an untested, impure, dangerous alternative like spice. Just as only alcohol prohibition could have led people seeking a buzz to drink denatured methanol. If we really want to end the problem of synthetic marijuana, we must legalize the sale of natural marijuana and, most importantly, stop penalizing people in their employment, in their housing, in their benefits, in their health care for using marijuana. It's not enough just to legalize it. We need to end the stigmatization in our society, our legal discrimination against cannabis consumers, or people will still seek out ways to escape that prejudice, to escape that oppression, to save their families and their homes and their careers. We are incentivizing people, especially military people are into this too, so that they can beat the military drug tests. Homeless shelters are reporting this because a lot of the shelters have drug testing that's involved. We are incentivizing people toward a more harmful choice. It's time to legalize marijuana and end its stigmatization of its users. That's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned for hour two. We got another exclusive track from Chief Greenbud 4, our Electric Tuesday Daily Toker Tunes, and more on all the news of the day from me, Radical Russ, from Legal Potland, Oregon. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.